us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have provided for us. Lord, I pray that today we glorify and praise you in all that we do in our worship today. Lord, I pray for our pastor as he stands before us preaching your holy word, that it be what thus saith you, Lord, to us. Lord, when everything's been said and done this day, we give you praise, honor, and glory for that outcome. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this evening, or this morning. I'm way ahead. If you would please stand, we'll continue on with our call to worship. Spirit of the Living God and the King is coming.
Trying to beat him so y'all wouldn't have to sit down, because you're going to have to stand right up to shake hands. What a morning. I hope that you're excited about being here. I am not Steve Heberer. He's the one in your bulletin. He's at home sick. So I want to share with you a verse or two and then give you a few announcements. Then we're going to welcome each other. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this? And I hope you do. I hope that you believe that Jesus is the resurrection. One day, if you're a believer, we're going to be resurrected and be with Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. We were singing, the King is coming, and he is coming. And there's going to be an awful lot of people disappointed when he comes. But there's going to be a lot of us rejoicing because he's our Savior, our Creator, our Master. A couple of announcements, and now kind of revolve around eating. 4 out of 5 have to do with eating. There'll be a meeting with all the children's Sunday school teachers on Tuesday, August 23rd at 6 o'clock, and we are going to provide a light dinner for the teachers as they come in from work. Monday, September 12th, there'll be a meeting with all our mission leaders on Wednesday nights. If you're a leader of the mission activities, we're going to meet as well at 6 o'clock, and there'll be a light dinner for you guys as well. Joyce is going to have a potluck August 25th, and if you're over 30 years old, you're more than welcome to come our joys. And did I say 30? No. Anybody that really wants to come, you're more than welcome, but it's for people over about 50. And then I'm waiting to get part of that one of these days. 31st, we're going to have, that's Wednesday, we're going to have church-wide potluck. And you'll notice, bring two dishes and a dessert, and we'll supply the meat and bread and drink. We have a great time. That's just a really good time to meet each other, to sit down with somebody you don't get to normally to talk with, and it's just a sweet time of fellowship. So come on and visit with us the 31st. And then there's a special call business meeting Wednesday, August 24th, and some of you have called and want to know what it's about. It's, we're just going to present the nominating report. We always have to vote on that, and we didn't get it done in time for last business meeting, so we'll present the ones that said yes and see where we go. Let's stand and welcome everybody. Do as you need to do. Hug a neck, shake hands, or don't do it. Just a wave.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this heart. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this heart. For I'm part of the family of God.
All right, you can be seated. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have our children's time. So let's bow our heads together. Almighty God, our Lord, our Savior, we're very grateful to You for being a loving, merciful, forgiving God. We're grateful, Lord, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we're grateful for the blessings of life that You pour out on us. You've especially blessed Hillcrest Baptist Church, Father, and we praise You for that. Thank You, God, for the new building and what's taking place, and Lord, we're seeing progress every day, so we just praise You, God. I pray, Lord, for our ones that are hurting. We have some that are sick, some that are going to have surgery, and some, Lord, that have been waiting for test results, financial situations, and family situations. God, I lift Your people up to You, asking, God, that You touch them in a great and mighty way, and they feel the very presence of God in their lives. I pray for our homes. I pray, Lord, that You would bless our homes and our marriages, our children, for our teachers and the support personnel at school, and we lift them up to You, our children, Father. We ask, God, that this year would be a safe year for our children. We pray, Father, that we're not supposed to mention Jesus, our Savior, in public places, but I pray, Lord, that You give us boldness where we could reach out to people and tell them about our Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Father, I pray now that as we get ready to open up the Word of God in a few moments, that you would bless our hearts with your wisdom and your thoughts. And Lord, prick us with your presence. And if there's something that needs to be repented of, I pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts and we'd ask forgiveness. And Father, we just seek your face for our lives. Thank you, Father, for everything that you do. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, children, come on down. It is pink. Did anybody go to school this week?
I did.
What did you think about school? Was it good?
Yep.
Did you learn anything? Did you learn a whole lot?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Anybody bother you at school?
Nope.
Good. That's really good.
Yes.
Do you like your teacher? Yes. All right. Okay, let me tell you something that will help you as you go to school. Let me ask you this first. Are you guys easy to wake up?
Yeah.
I don't doubt, Baron, that you're easy to wake up. Do you wake up talking? Yes, you do too.
No, I don't. I wake up.
Okay. If you're hard to wake up, then you probably don't have time to do much praying, do you? Mm-hmm. Here's what King David did every day when he got up. He'd start out, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirst for you." You ever been thirsty before? You ever been thirsty? Doesn't it feel really good when you're thirsty and go and drink a whole lot of whatever you drink?
Yeah.
David says, "My soul thirst for you." It's like he's really, really thirsty. And he's just dying for something to drink. That's the way he feels about God's word. He's just thirsty for God's word. He says, "My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water." Can you imagine going to your faucet and turning it on and no water? And then you go the next day, no water. And what happens if you ran out of water for 3 or 4 days?
I would go.
Well, your friend might be out of water too. What would happen then? Nobody had water. That's the way David feels about having God in his life. You can't get ice if you don't have water. You didn't already have ice because you already sucked it dry. So here you go. "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary." What does the sanctuary mean? What does the sanctuary mean? Church. Church. Here. So I want you guys, before you go to school, do this for me. Wake up and say, "Oh God, thank you for a good night's rest. Oh God, help me get through the school year. Oh me." Just go on and on and on. And then thank the Lord for your parents, for your home, and for your teacher. Can you do that? And for your water.
I'm a rabbit.
You are. All right, come here. Somebody tell me what you smell. Tell me what you smell. Skittles. Yeah, they're not teeth now. Don't eat them. And I've got something else too. Wait a minute, don't take off. Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Thank you,
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. Chocolate.
Chocolate, we get chocolate.
All right.
Hershey. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 202. Stand for number 242, Pentecostal Power, 242.
Send the old-time power, the Pentecost. So today I'm going to be playing the song 10,000 Reasons, also known as Bless the Lord. And when I begin practicing a piece, I like to know two things about the piece. First of all, I like to know the motive behind writing the piece. And secondly, I like to know the scripture. And so the motive, as the title suggests, 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord, is saying that, especially as Christians, we can continually praise God for something in our lives, always. We can pray without ceasing, and we can praise Him without ceasing as well. And that's where the title 10,000 Reasons comes from, of the countless reasons that we have to give honor to God every single day. And the scripture that inspired this song is Psalms 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," which likewise are the first lyrics beginning the piece. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles."
Thank you.
Was somebody humming back here? Or did I hear an angel? I know somebody was humming. It sounded to me like they needed to get up here and sing a special. Was it her? Uh-huh. If you hum that good, you ought to sing that good too. Yes, yes, yes. It both was good, weren't they? The Landon gets just better. But you know, I got to tell you something about Landon. He's like this all the time. He walks with the Lord and he loves the Lord. That's just Landon. But I see something else in him sometimes. He teaches somebody else how to play the violin down here. She lives out in somewhere back there. And he lives way out there. So they meet here at church and they use the fellowship hall. And she's just learning how to play. And I was watching him this past week. And one note. How long did it take you to go over that one note with her? 15 minutes? Seemed like forever. He's got so much patience. It's this. For 15 minutes, I mean, for a long time. So thank you for having patience and love enough to teach somebody what they're doing. But it also made me realize when he gets up here and plays, how many of these did he have to practice to get these songs like he does? So thank you so much. All that. Thank you. Just say thank you, Landon. All right, I'm through. I'm going home. Acts chapter 4. I probably heard an amen or two. Acts chapter 4, 23 through 33. Acts 4, 23 through 33. Bible starts out, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the things the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The king of the earth took their stand, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, the Lord looked on their threats and grant to your servants that all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul, and neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed of his own, but they had all things in common. And with the great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Power with prayer, or prayer with power, is the title of this message. And as I prepared this, it was a really tough one to pray, because I want to talk from my heart things that the Lord spoke to me about, and it all has to do with prayer and church and why things happen, why things don't happen. So we're going to look at prayer with power. And as we look at prayer with power within our own church, within our own lives, I want us to figure out why the walls of Hillcrest Baptist Church don't shake. Does that sound fair? Why don't our walls shake? So let's look at why it all starts. In verse 23, the Bible says, and being let go. To understand this, you got to study beforehand, but What causes a powerful prayer meeting? Peter and John have been thrown in jail. They are arrested for preaching Jesus, that he died, buried, and resurrected. So they were thrown in jail, and I'm thinking maybe it takes something bad to happen to have a powerful prayer meeting. Surely it wasn't a pleasant thing to be thrown in jail for preaching Jesus, so that was bad in my mind, my thinking. It shouldn't take something bad to have a powerful prayer meeting, but I think sometimes it does. Remember September 11th, 2001? That was pretty bad, wasn't it? Something good came from that. The Sundays after that, churches were full. People were praying more. They were drawing closer to God. Did it last? Did not last. But I do know that probably every church that worshiped God saw some kind of increase in the attendance, and people were scared. They saw the same thing we saw on TV, and it was bad, bad. They knew they needed Jesus. Let me share another reason that would cause a powerful prayer meeting. Maybe if everyone in God's church renewed their spiritual walk with the Lord and got right with God, then we'd see a powerful prayer meeting in God's churches. Let me read verses 23 and 24 to you again. Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it." The Bible says they were in one accord. To be in one accord, whether it be with each other or with God, there has to be repentance. There has to be forgiveness. There has to be a form of humility. God is the creator. We humble ourselves before God. A great Welsh preacher, born in 1766 and died in 1838, what was written about him said, the greatest preacher that Baptists have ever had in Great Britain. So I looked him up. My curiosity was piqued at this the story I'm fixing to read. And I saw a picture of this man, and he had one eye. Probably the most effective preacher they'd ever had in Great Britain, at least Baptist preacher. His name was Christmas Evans, a Welsh preacher of the late 18th and 19th century. And he wrote this in one of his diaries that he kept. "One Sunday afternoon, I was traveling by horseback to an appointment. Suddenly, as I went along a very lonely road, I was convicted of having a cold heart. I dismounted, tethered my horse to a tree, and found a secluded spot. Then, walking back and forth in agony, I reviewed my life. I waited before God in brokenness and sorrow for 3 hours. Finally, a sweet sense of his forgiving love broke over me, and I received a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. As the sun was setting, I walked back to the road, found my horse, and rode on to my appointment. The following day, I preached with so much new power to a vast gathering of people on the hillside that revival broke out and ultimately spread throughout all of Wales. The only way to get right with God is to be born again. Walking with Jesus, and then as you walk with Jesus and meditate and pray and seek God's face, the Holy Spirit will refill your soul." Here's Jerry's thinking. Maybe we don't have to have something bad to make us have a powerful prayer meeting. Maybe it has to do with us not being full of the Holy Spirit. Some of us maybe not seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to run over to Acts chapter 19 and read verses 1 through 5. And as we read any of these verses, I want us to continue to compare our own church and our own lives to what Scripture has to say. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe sometimes we don't have our salvation in order. Maybe we were baptized without truly knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. All Christians need to make sure that they've been saved in a biblical way. Realize we're sinners saved by grace. Need Jesus to forgive our sins. Ask Him to forgive us of our sins. Then we repent and invite Him into our life. I say this because I talk to people and see people, and they tell me they're Christians, but then when you keep on talking with them and ask them questions throughout, they really don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've just grown up in church. So why don't churches have great, powerful prayer meetings? Because sometimes there's people praying that are not even saved. They don't know they're saved. So let's make sure, looking at Hillcrest Baptist Church, that we're all saved. Make sure we have a relationship with the Lord. Things happen when the Holy Spirit is active in a Christian's life. Things happen when the Holy Spirit is active in the life of the church. Going back to Acts chapter 4, look at 31 through 33. And verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed," so we have to pray to begin with, don't we? "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now all the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Now I had to put my pen down and pray through this one. When the Holy Spirit is active in the life or in the church's life, things happen. Verse 31 is chock full of things that happened to them as the Holy Spirit filled them. The Bible says, first of all, they assembled together. Talking about a multitude again. The multitude was there, and the church itself met at within their own selves. They assembled together. And they literally felt the walls shaking of wherever they were at. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills you, it's not just to make you feel good. It's to equip you to do something for the Lord Jesus. They all started when something bad had happened. Peter and John had been thrown in jail. But they'd also been praying while they were in jail to get them out of jail. And God answered their prayers. So people prayed. How's our prayer life at Hillcrest Baptist Church? Look at those that attended the prayer meeting in verse 32. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of their things they had possessed were their own, but they had all things in common." So the verse 31, the place shook. They could feel the actual presence of God. They felt God and were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak boldly, witnessing for Christ. And then verse 32, multitude, there was a great number of Christians involved. And the Bible says they believed the same way. They believed in the death, burial, and resurrection, and that was the only way to get to heaven. They had experienced Jesus. Some of them had been walking with Jesus. They saw the miracles and all that. But realize what they were going through. They were going through a complete change of their belief system. They saw Jesus and wanted to be part of Him, so they were Christ followers, the Bible says they were of one heart and one soul. Again, I put my pen down in this Jerry going through my own heart and head. I wonder how many churches can claim that everyone is of one heart. We like to say that we're in one accord at our church. Do we all know as Christians that we belong to one kingdom and our work is for that one kingdom and we serve one God? I want you to think about your own life. Is God king at your house? Is he Lord of your house, of your life? Some of you are shaking your heads and others are not. But be truthful about it. Are we following God's word in our home, in our work, in our play? Do we serve one God? What do you do to develop or cultivate your heart to serve one God? That's the humility. That's where you do what God asks you to do, tells you to do. And yes, Lord, I'll do it. I don't question God. Yes, I'll do it, Father. I'll do whatever you ask. Verse 32 said they shared everything they had, they shared among themselves. Do we do that? I can tell you from experience that many churches are not in one accord. Some churches can't even agree on what music they sing. That's a big deal in churches nowadays. Music's too loud. Music's old-fashioned. Does that sound like one accord? I was talking to one of our deacons this morning, and he was telling me about one of the old-time evangelists that wrote something like this. If we didn't have padded pews, fill your pew and thank the Lord right now. If we didn't have carpet, we didn't have a sound system, you know, as weak as my voice is, you'd all be gathered up here. If we didn't have one water, which means no restrooms, and didn't have the coolness of the room, and it was 105 degrees, would we still come to church? How many of you think you would? We get here sometimes. Sometimes we come on Saturday nights and turn the thermostats up so that it's cool in here, turn it down so that it'll be cool when we get here. When the air conditioners don't work at Hillcrest Baptist Church, not everybody's in one accord. I can tell you that right now. When things are right with the Lord within the church, that church will experience great power from God. When we're right with God in our lives at church, that church will experience great things from God, the power of God. Look at verse 33. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. When we're right with God, we may not feel the walls shaking, but we could. God can still shake walls. But when we're right with God, and that means walking with God, one King, one kingdom, one Lord, our life belongs to God. Even at home, we do what God says. We walk the walk at home. We do it at work. Kroger's you go, no matter where you go. God is Lord of your life. And we're right with God, then He does great and mighty things through people that worship Him like that. So I guess the question comes down to this: does a church really want great power and God working that great power in the church? I'm just going to read to you what I wrote down. Is that okay with you guys? I'm still going to read it, whether it is or not. Just go ahead and shake your head. Most churches can't even get their people to come on church on a regular basis. What do you think God thinks about when he sees a church half full on a Sunday morning? What do you think he thinks about that church when he sees a church a quarter full on a Sunday night? Or worse yet, what do you think the Lord thinks when he sees a church not having any service on a Sunday night? You think you're going to see a power working in that church? The word power means might, energy, great force, great strength, great ability. It's like the force of dynamite. That's what churches experience when they're right with God, and when God fills the church with his Spirit, fills the Christians with his Spirit. The dynamite power. We, over here where they do the rock stuff, sometimes this whole building will shake when they blast something. I mean, it must be a huge dynamite. Can you feel it over there? It jars your mouth. But that's the kind of power that God has. He can not only shake this little area, he can shake the whole world, and he needs to shake the whole world right now. Never mind, I'm not going to tell him what he needs to do. Back up. I'm sorry. The last part of verse 33 says, a great grace was upon them all because they were earnestly praying for God to do something. We're going to need this kind of praying. We need it now, but we're especially going to need it in the next couple months when we get the Family Life Center up and running. We cannot do that without God. We cannot make that thing work without God. We can't keep each other happy in one accord without God behind us. It's going to require the kind of praying that these people were doing. This morning during my quiet time, God showed me something about these verses that I guess I didn't pay attention to. The main characters, Peter and John, were thrown in jail, and they go back and tell the experience what they did. But the people were already praying. It doesn't always require the preacher to lead the church in praying. The preacher was in jail at the time, Peter and John, but the people were already praying. Sunday school teachers, you can have prayer meetings on some other time besides Sunday morning in your class. That's what God is looking for. Our mission activities. We can meet here instead of on Wednesday. We can meet here on a Tuesday and pray. It doesn't have to, the preacher doesn't have to say, let's do it. The people of God, when they're right with God, will pray. They'll seek God's help. I always tell you, if you don't like my preaching, it's your fault. Because you're not praying hard enough. You pray for me that if you don't like it, God will change me. Oh man, he got a lot to change too. But you praying, it's your fault if you don't like me, my preaching. God can change me. I'm still a young man, but I'm still a man, and I listen to God. If you don't like something at church, pray about it. If you're not happy with your Sunday school class, don't get on the phone and talk about it. Pray about it. We need prayer. We need powerful praying. One of the verses I read and quote to myself every day in Psalm 119, 105. I'm opening my Bible so that you'll open your Bible in the mornings and look at Psalm 119, 105. Your word, God, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I ask God to be a lamp and a light to my life every single day. All of us walk down different paths, but I want to walk down that path that God is shining his light. He intends for me to walk certain ways. And that's the way our church ought to be. Go down the path that God has lit for this church. So let me ask you, or tell you, most of them are questions. Is the kingdom of God the focus of your life? Is the kingdom of God the focus of this church? Do I have any ill feelings towards someone in the church? Is the kingdom of God the focus of your life? And do you have any ill feelings towards someone in the church? Do I support the church's purpose? Am I boldly proclaiming the word of God? Does God live his life through me? Do I truly belong to God? Our best and most powerful resource is in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. When they really prayed, things happened. The Bible says they assembled together. The building shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. This was a hard message to prepare, not for you guys, but for me. Hard message to deliver as well. When I have to deliver something like this, I'm always fear and trembling, because it's tough. This is the word of God, and this is what we base our church on. This is what we base our life on. This is how we walk. And if we're right with God, God can literally shake this church off its foundation. And we'd be thrilled. Almighty, I ask God that you speak to our hearts. Only you know, Father, whether we're in one accord or not. Only you know whether you're the focus of our life or not. God, you're the only one that knows whether we're doing church like you want us to do church. Father, I pray that you would help us to assemble together and pray long as it takes to get things right with you. Teach us, Father, through prayer and listening, what you desire for our life, for the church's life. I pray, God, that we would experience powerful prayer meetings and see power come out of those prayer meetings. Help us, Father, pleasing to you. God, I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I talk to Christians that say they're Christians all the time, but they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if I talk to somebody like that, I ask them, would they like to invite Jesus into their life? Today, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you think you might, if there's a question, come on down and let's pray about it. There's no sense even questioning whether you belong to God or not. You ought to know it or not. It's like this. You can tack it down and say, yes, without a doubt, I belong to Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come on down. Christians, my brothers and sisters, we can do better in our prayer life. circumstances. I mean, they overwhelm us, don't they? We don't have enough time. Those kids don't wake up in time. They just get their clothes on, get a Pop-Tart, and get to school. They don't have time to pray. We're the same way. We need to really explore our prayer life, make sure that we're praying every morning to get God's guidance. He'll light that path we're supposed to be going down. Let's stand, and if you have anything you need to pray about, come on forward and we'll pray.
Room at the cross for you.